Happy Thanksgiving. I praise the Lord for all his graciousness and all the good things that he has provided me and the family. And this is honestly a Thanksgiving day. I'm sure every day we're thankful. The scripture reading on this Thanksgiving Sunday is from Psalm 95, the entirety, verses 1 to 11. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his word. Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declare on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you for each one who has been involved in our service this morning. I'm very happy to be here this morning. I've been a little busy as Pastor Callum is away, but it's a good busy. I'm very blessed to be part of this church and to be part of this church family. The sermon title this morning is Grateful for a Gracious God. Jolene was only 8 years old. She lived with her family in the country, and she lived with her parents and her brother. And consequently, they didn't have a lot of visitors from the city. They didn't have many visitors at all. One day, Jolene's mother had said that the father was going to bring back a couple guests for Thanksgiving dinner. So after they had enjoyed the turkey together, Jolene went to the kitchen to help her mother and proudly brought back the first piece of pumpkin pie and gave it to the father. Well, the father then passed the plate to one of the guests. And so Jolene came in a second time with a second piece of pumpkin pie and gave it to her father, who then again gave it to the next guest. Well, this was too much for little Jolene, who then blurted out, "It's no use, Daddy. The pieces are all the same size." Indeed, we give thanks for all the people in our lives, no matter how innocent they may be, how naive they may be. We are thankful for our family. We are thankful for our friends. We are thankful for food, no matter the size of the pie or the size of the portion that may be before us. In our text in Psalm 95, we are thankful to God for our lives. In fact, our thematic statement is God, who is our Lord and our Maker, gave us our lives. We find that too in Psalm 139, and he also gave us eternal life. We see in Psalm 139 that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God knew us even when we were in our mother's womb. And he said he made us beautiful. Many people, when they walk around, they're discouraged. They feel that they don't have self-worth. But how I wish they'd read Psalm 139, how we are beautiful in God. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And we are made in his image. God made the animals, but then he made humans, and we are the crown of all creation. God made us special. God gave us our lives. And we are beautiful in his image. We are all created special. And God also gave us eternal life. In John chapter 3, we see that God has given us a new life as we are born again in him. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus goes up to Jesus and says, "How can a man be born again?" Jesus says, "I have come so that you may have life and have it to the full." He goes on and he gives the most popular verse in the Bible, which is this verse is summed up in John 3:16. It's the entire Bible in one verse. And it says, "Do you want to know how do you become born again? Well, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We have eternal life. We have a new life in him because of his saving work on the cross in our lives. Let's look at our physical lives, how God gave us our lives. Let's look at this and what it means for us. I'd like to share with you a quote, but first I need to give you a little bit of some background. Quite recently, for over nine years, I was involved helping those who are elderly and those who are disabled. I couldn't make it to 10 years, but I did some great work with the Handy Dart Service. So with the Handy Dart Service, I had a lot of wheelchair clients. I couldn't make it to 10 years because I'm involved here at the church. I'm busy with my family, and that's basically where my focus is. This is where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be helping my family. But I had some great years with the Handy Dart Service. A lot of the customers were on dialysis. If you're on dialysis, this takes over the functions of healthy kidneys. This allows the body to continue working even through end-stage kidney failure. Diabetes can cause circulation problems, such as circulation disease, for example, to the legs. So I would always be grateful working at this job with Handy Dart. I was basically a chauffeur for these people. But I try to make it as smooth as possible for those who would be part of my service. I would whistle on the bus. I would sometimes hum, and they would sometimes whistle too, or they'd sing back the songs they're singing. And sometimes they'd fall asleep, which is okay too. I gave them a smooth ride. I'd also try to help them and encourage them. And I would also have a chance to maybe talk to them about Jesus. But these were super long days for people, especially who were on dialysis. People going to the hospital, whether it was VGH or whether it was St. Paul's. I'd pick them up early in the morning, and then I'd pick them up again later in the evening. They'd have to go to the hospital 3 times a week. Sometimes I'd pick them up earlier in the afternoon, and then I'd pick them up again later at night. It would take up their whole day. And so I would be humbled because of what they have to go through from week to week. This is their lives. 3 times a week takes up their whole day. And I would be humbled because sometimes because of their circulation problems, their legs would have to be amputated. So I would see them in one instance, and they would have their legs, and they're capable and they're able. Because there's so many patients and clients in the Handy Dart Service, I wouldn't see them again until a few months later. So in one instance, I would see them with their legs, they're able, and they're walking around, and then maybe a few months later, I would see them and their legs are amputated. They're in a wheelchair. One patient took her life because everything was unbearable. She couldn't take it any longer. She committed suicide. It was unbearable for her being in a wheelchair and having no legs. This is the quote I want to share with you. Someone once said this: Get on your knees and thank God you're on your feet. This Thanksgiving, when you go home, maybe during your quiet time with the Lord, get on your knees and thank God you're on your feet. God gave us our lives. God gave us our health. God gave us our well-being. So we need to be on one knee, thank God we're on our feet. Let's look at our eternal lives. God gave us eternal life in Him. We are born again. We have received salvation. This verse in this chapter, it says, shout aloud the rock of our salvation. This is an expression of worship, singing with a joyful shout and an acclamation to our God. This stems from our belief. Because we believe in who God is, what He's done for us, this gives us reason to celebrate that God gave us life. It says in John 10:10 that He gave us life and life to the full, a life that is more abundant. God gives us life eternal as we have put our trust in Him. So really, He has given us a life that is unbelievable. He has made the unbelievable happen. He has given us a chance to receive the inconceivable. That even though we are marred by sin, we are tarnished by sin. God is holy, yet we are sinful. We are separated from God, and yet God sent His Son for us. And God died for us. God died for me. He took my sin on the cross so that we may have life. And we can have joy in this life. And we can have it more abundantly. And we can share this with other people. And bring other people to a knowledge. And we can bring other people to light in the darkness that we live in. So friends, what are you doing with gratefulness this morning? I believe that if we are thankful, it cancels out complaints in our lives. It outweighs some of the bad things that happen in our lives. If we have joy, it bubbles over. It takes over some of the complaints, some of the concerns we have in our lives. We won't go as far as the evil hearts of unbelief in our text, but complaining is a concern for Christians and non-Christians alike. Philippians 2 says this, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Now, sometimes we do need to voice our concerns. We need to be realistic. We need to say things how they really are. But I'm talking about people, and you know of people who constantly grumble, who complain and whine, and sometimes we may be guilty of that as well. Speaking of my former job, I'd like to show us a poem. It's called Forgive Me When I Whine. Today, upon a bus, I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so happy, and how I wish I was so fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot and wore a crutch, but as she passed, a smile. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet, the world is mine. And when I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, it's nice to deal with you. Such courtesy I seldom find. He turned and said, oh, thank you, sir. And then I saw that he was blind. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes. The world is mine. Then when walking down the street, I saw a child of eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped for a moment. Then I said, why? Why don't you join the others, dear? He looked ahead without a word. And then I knew he could not hear. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 ears. The world is mine. with feet to take me where I go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I would know. I am blessed indeed, the world is mine. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. What is our response with salvation today? Friends, we cannot be content with complacency. We cannot be content with the status quo of our lives. We can't just live day to day thinking that it's all right and I'll just go on my business. And maybe I'll let someone else tell my friend about God. I'll let someone else pray. God can do that through my other Christian friend. We cannot be complacent in our lives. We need to be working and doing our best for Him and making decisions for Him. I commend those who have been baptized this morning. What an awesome decision to take that step of obedience. I was baptized when I was a young lad. When I was in high school, I believe I was 13 or 14 years old. And we need to make that decision to be baptized if we haven't done that already. To say, yes, Lord, I want to obediently follow you. I recognize that you are my Lord and Savior. And I want to make a proclamation and a declaration and show those around me, my friends, my family, that I want to follow you. Being baptized for me was one of the best decisions I have ever made. And I encourage you to be baptized if you haven't done that already. One of the highlights of my summer and probably my whole year was probably the New Beginnings camp when I was asked to speak. I gave 3 talks during our New Beginnings camp. The first talk was about our lives in Christ, who Christ is. The second talk was about our friendship or our relationship with Christ. And then my third talk was about our victory in Christ. Can you guys hear me okay? I was told to go behind the mic. Our victory in Christ is what it's all about. And I gave a chance to challenge those people at that camp to rededicate their lives and to make a commitment. It was great to be part of the New Beginnings camp. Thank you for inviting me and having me as your speaker. I enjoyed the food, being part of the Filipino fellowship, and those who are, of course, not Filipino as well, were welcome to come to our camp. I enjoyed the food, I enjoyed the games, I enjoyed hanging out by the river, being by God's creation. I stayed in a tent, which was not as enjoyable, but it's okay. But one of the highlights for me in the summer and also my whole year was giving a talk where I can challenge people to accept Jesus into their lives and make Him Lord and Savior of their lives. And I also gave a chance for people to make a recommitment, to rededicate their lives, to reignite their lives for Him. I commend those who stood up and said, I want to follow you. I want to make a recommitment. I want to rededicate my life to you. People make rededications, whether it's home or family, maybe in their school life, whatever it is, I commend those who have not only been baptized, but who make decisions for God. And that's what we need to do in our Christian lives. Always living for Him and saying, yes, I want to follow you. I want to do my best for you. I want to invite you to the gym afterwards to hear our testimonies of those who got baptized. It's okay if there's not enough chairs. We'll bring in more chairs. It's going to be a great time afterwards as we hear the testimonies. Really, this is my prayer for all of us, that we wouldn't be complacent in our Christian lives, that we continue to walk with him, talk with him, hear from him in God's word, and do our best for him. And not be happy with convenience. Well, I'll come to church today because it's convenient. No, I'll come to church today because I want to worship you. I want to come to church because I want to give you all the praise, all the glory. God says in his word that we should make all disciples of all nations. Really, that's what we're called to do. The message is clear this morning on Thanksgiving Sunday. Yes, we thank God for our friends. We thank God for our family. But ultimately, we thank God for our lives, our health, our well-being. The world is ours. We have our health. When I spoke 3 weeks ago, I shared with you how I could have lost my life in an instant. How I was struck by a car, my thigh bone was shattered, it was broken. I flipped over the car, I was knocked unconscious. And how I could have easily had brain damage if my head had hit the concrete. But I think God said, I'm going to use that this 10-year-old kid. This kid may have some potential. And I believe that all of us have potential this morning. All of us have been created in his image. And we have spiritual gifts that we can use for him. God will use our talents, our capabilities for him. I've been listening to a song quite recently. It's by Torrin Wells. It's called God's Not Done. And in that song, it talks about how God's not done with us yet. God wasn't done with me when I was 10 years old. God wanted to do a good work in me. God's not done with us. Whatever we're going through in life, whether it's stress or sadness, in our brokenness, God's not done with us. God's working in us. He's making us stronger. He's making us better people. And he's not done with us. The message this morning is clear. Lastly, we thank God for our spiritual rebirth, our eternal lives in him, this glorious inheritance that he has bestowed upon us, this salvation he has given us. The world is ours. We have salvation. We have new life. We have new hope. We have heaven. We're going to. I wear a cross, not only to help me remember, but to help me be grateful, to be thankful, that even though we are so small, we are so insignificant, God saw us in our time of need. He sent his one and only son for us so we can have life, so we can have it more abundantly, so we can one day know him, the power of his resurrection, and so we can one day be with him in heaven. Amen. Let us continue to thank God and sing of his gratefulness and sing of his thankfulness. Thank you, Verona.